Maine Public Safety Commissioner Michael Soschuk. Mike Soschuk has been on the job as Maine's Commissioner of Public Safety for about a month and a half now. He is former Portland Police Chief and now oversees a number of bureaus, including the Maine State Police, the Criminal Justice Academy, the Fire Marshal's Office, Emergency Medical Services, and more. As Police Chief, Soschuk focused on mental health and substance use issues. He plans to use this experience as he helps the Mills Administration tackle Maine's opioid epidemic. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we continue our series of conversations with the governor's cabinet members, with Public Safety Commissioner Mike Soschuk. What do you see as the biggest issue facing public safety in Maine? What do you hope he will prioritize? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Maine's Department of Public Safety encompasses a wide range of bureaus, many of which involve some of the most pressing issues facing our state, from emergency response to the opioid crisis. Today, we'll learn how the new commissioner of the Department of Public Safety plans to approach all of that. Joining me in the studio, Commissioner Michael Soschuk. He has been in his new role heading up Maine's Public Safety Department for about 6 weeks now. He was Portland's police chief and assistant city manager before that. As always, we want to hear from you. Do you have questions about public safety issues in Maine? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Commissioner Soschuk, welcome back to Maine Calling.
Thank you, Jennifer. It's good to see you. Thanks for having me back.
How is the job going so far?
It's been going great, really. You said in the position for 6 weeks. We got it all figured out, right? I mean, we're ready to go here. Everybody's been great. The transition's
been good. You've met everybody already, right?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you that it's a great group up there. They've been very kind and open, and the transition's gone very well from my perspective.
What are you planning to focus on?
Yeah, so as you touched on some of those bureaus, I think each one of those bureaus needs some attention in various aspects. Obviously, from the law enforcement world, I'm very excited about having an opportunity to interact with the folks at the Maine Criminal Justice Academy, Maine Drug Enforcement, the Maine State Police. The command staff there has been incredible to work with. But every one of those various bureaus need attention. They need attention in the sense that not that there's things that we need to fix tomorrow, but there's great professionals there that I want to learn from and that I want to help move those particular agencies forward as well. So there's a lot of opportunity across the board.
Sure. And I know that this is true in so many parts of our life, that everything is changing so quickly. You think of emergency dispatch, you know, technology is changing that a great deal, correct? And data has completely changed law enforcement.
Yeah, without question. You know, we're certainly more data-driven now than we ever have been, and not all the systems are really suitable for that. So that's a major concern. But, you know, as I walk in and I look at consolidated dispatch, and the executive director there is leading a charge on changing the entire computer-aided dispatch system, which in and of itself is a major, major undertaking. And I hope that we're able to utilize that system to its fullest and be able to pull evidence-based practices and data out of those systems like we haven't really been able to do in the past.
You know, that brings up to something I read is that there's a big new grant to update Maine's fingerprinting process. Do you mm-hmm. know where we are in that? And then also, what are you hoping to be able to do with the new system?
Yeah, so as an example, there's a pieces of those grant that would be have a mobile fingerprint readers. So we have some state troopers that are actually working drug interdiction and working 295 and 95 as we speak, that would be able to utilize that mobile tool to better identify people real time when we're working with folks. So somebody's lying about who they are, where they're from. This fingerprint reader, just in the last week, I've seen a couple of great cases where somebody is playing the name game and we're able to actually find out who they are and find out that they are wanted individuals from other states in many examples.
So
that's just a little piece of that.
Functional already?
A pilot program. So that's one aspect of that larger grant while we're also trying to update and modernize some of the equipment, primarily the fingerprint systems, AFIS systems that are spread around the state. So we'll be updating that material and that equipment as well. So a lot of those programs were in place or in progress long before I got here, right? But so I'm getting plugged in with some really professional bureau heads that have been spearheading these kind of things.
What is your sense of where Maine is compared to other states, not only with fingerprinting and that kind of technology, but also with our criminal records?
Well, I think that, again, from a profession standpoint, I think we've got a long ways to go with that. And I know that from talking to people from a national perspective. So I don't think that puts the state of Maine behind anybody else. But what I do know from working in Portland for a long time, that they're currently looking at another data collection tool, another computer-aided dispatch system that Chief Malik is really spearheading on that side. So there's agencies doing this all over. I would love us to be able to coordinate and collaborate more because I will give you an example. Spielman and IMC are these two computer-aided dispatch systems that don't necessarily talk to each other. I wouldn't expect that everybody's going to be on the same platform. But just a couple years ago, the state of Maine itself went to a system where all those state law enforcement agencies can actually share information and talk. But before that, they couldn't necessarily do that in an easy system.
I know that Maine overall, all of us are blessed to live in this low crime state. Given that, are there any trends that you're watching, any trends that you're concerned about?
Yeah. You know, when we start talking about crime stats and things of that nature, the state of Maine is traditionally in the top three safest states in the country right now. And some of those are number one safest state, which is incredible news. That's not to say that we don't have crime in violent scenarios and our officers aren't put in harm's way on a daily basis. You just look over the last three, coming into 4 days now, you talk about four homicides right here in the state of Maine. Very, very dangerous situations that officers are responding to. So I think property crime in general has gone down consistently for years. We also had a spike in violent crime last year. We need to look at that. We need to be mindful of that. We also need to just own the fact that the opioid epidemic has a direct impact on that as well, which is another reason why law enforcement is so focused on that.
Well, let's ask about that, because I know that it's, you know, Governor Mills has stated this is one of her, if not her biggest priority. I know that she's bringing in cabinet members on many different levels, from DHHS to Randy Liberty over at the Corrections. What is your role in this? What is the role of the bureaus that you work for in combating the opioid crisis?
So when you look at law enforcement, you look at EMS, dispatch, the academy, really this fight against this disease impacts virtually all of my bureaus at one level or another. And I think when you start talking about a prevention and recovery cabinet, which is what the ideal here is. And I think we have a strong opportunity to put all those various statewide departments at the same table, working, pulling together in the same direction. So I look at the Department of Public Safety as a leading entity in this conversation. Gordon Smith, who is the director of opioid response, who you've probably talked to at the point. I've known Gordon for years. He is absolutely perfect for this position. And was one of the primary drivers behind the Maine Opiate Collaborative when I was involved several years ago. So we're looking forward to really all of us getting settled in a little bit more and continuing to fight this fight.
How has policing changed in terms of responding to folks, one, who have a substance use issue, but also mental health issues? You've been in law enforcement more than two decades now.
Sure.
How did it used to be, and where are we headed?
Yeah, I think the easy answer for that to me was always it was very enforcement-centric. We were solving problems with huge air quotes by arresting people that were in crisis and taking them to jail, which was the wrong way to do business. There's just no question about that now as we have those conversations in 2019. But for us, you know, I'm looking to put people off on that path of long-term health and wellness is what we talk about on a regular basis. If people are healthy physically and mentally, and we've got some of these diseases like an opioid disorder under control, people will never have impacts and never have contact with law enforcement. They just won't. So rather than throwing people into various systems that can be very harming, whether it's the criminal justice system or not, we want to make sure that we're part of the solution rather than part of the problem. And I think we can do that. I think the mindset in our profession has changed a great deal, certainly since the start of my career. There's no question.
So I think the last time you were on Maine Calling, we were talking about the shortage of law enforcement officers throughout the state, a situation that has not been improving.
Yeah, there's no question about that either, right? Whenever I talk to folks around the state or around the country, again, it's a profession issue. I think we get a lot of folks that would come to Maine for the quality of life that we have here. They want to raise families in this atmosphere, which is great. And that's a huge selling point. But we have a lot of agencies that are in really a tough spot when we start talking about recruiting and retention. And there's a lot of different ways that we need to enhance, step up our game in order to get folks and keep our people.
And it's not just the police service, it's the fire service as well.
It's been a lot of conversation around that. And you think about an agency that's primarily focused on volunteer service, certainly in a rural location like the state of Maine, there's a lot of issues around recruitment and retention. And it's such an honorable profession. And I've had a great opportunity working with the fire marshal's office, Joe Thomas and his team, to dig into that a little further on from their aspect. They're not actively fighting fires, but boy, the work that they do with inspections and investigations is just really off the chart. Been very impressed with that entire work group.
All right. Well, we're talking with Public Safety Commissioner Michael Soschuk. If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org. You can send a brief email. You can tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. You know, it seems as though there are issues in the news that were not a few years ago. And one that comes to mind is sex trafficking. The statistics show that just a couple years ago in Maine, no arrests. And now it feels as though we're seeing a headline every couple months. Is this because of a growth of a new problem, or is it a shift in the way that we're looking at a problem that's always been there?
Yeah, it's definitely the shift answer. You know, in law enforcement, we were focused on prostitution. The prostitute that was, in many cases, years ago, was working the street, and now it's online. But that was the sole focus. That individual is committing a crime. And now we look at that same exact scenario and go, now we have a victim of human trafficking. And that's a complete sea change in the way law enforcement, the criminal justice system, is really attempting to deal with that. So, again, solutions, instead of being part of the problem, we're just arresting people that have been trafficked and really targeted and traumatized for their entire life. And we're trying to, again, put them on that path to health and wellness. So that's just a different approach entirely. And when that happens, that means we're targeting those that are trafficking the victims that we end up working with.
So do you think that there isn't really an increase? I'm thinking about the case that was just in the newspaper, I guess it was December, two Chinese nationals living in Concord, New Hampshire, with this ring in Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont. Is that not new? Has that kind of thing been going on for a long time?
Yes, I think it has been happening for a long time. Again, when we go back to data collection, and I don't think we know exactly
right.
The extent of the issue. All I know is that we were focusing on the wrong things, and we were doing that for decades, so that when somebody that was put or trafficked and put in a very dangerous situation, they were scared to deal with law enforcement rather than looking at us as a savior, that somebody that can try to help them get out of that situation. Because why? Because we were there in attempting to arrest them as they were out trying to survive day to day. So I do think we're not really sure, except for me to say that it's very prevalent right here in the state of Maine. This, like many other problems, this is not a California issue or a New York City issue. It's right here in our backyard.
Another issue that really grabbed headlines more a couple years ago was this whole idea of police using body cameras. I know some of the departments in Maine have purchased some body cameras, Portland Police Department being one of them. How extensive is their use in Maine, and what are your thoughts about whether it should be more extensive?
I don't have a solid number for you statewide, but I've been pleasantly surprised at some of the grant proposals and things that I've seen in my time at DPS to see how many of even smaller agencies are utilizing body cameras. And I think that's great. I don't think it's a situation where we need to mandate anything. It'd be a major unfunded mandate for law enforcement across the state. Plus, it's an incredibly personal decision. And I think municipalities, towns, small and large, should be part of that conversation. So we're not blindly mandating that all police departments do this or that. I think home rule is incredibly important, and I think communities should make those decisions for themselves. I think that there's a lot of good cops out there that would say, you can film me all you want to. I've got nothing to hide. And the world being what it is today, everybody's on camera all the time anyway. And we know that folks are popping cell phones out and videotaping our folks all the time.
How has the experience been in the Portland Police Department? How many cameras are there, and how long have they been part of the...
Yeah, so the pilot program, I believe, was around 10 officers. Chief Malik could certainly speak to that better than I. But I believe they're to the point now where they're putting it out to be able to expand it department-wide. And I think the officers that have been with, involved with that have been incredibly supportive overall.
All right. I just wanted to ask some reflections on your career so far. I know that you served in the Marines, served in the Portland Police Department, became chief, and now as Commissioner of Public Safety. Wondering, Commissioner Soschek, if there are any moments in your career, any events that happened that you would say shaped your outlook?
Yeah, I've been blessed. I have a great family. I've had great mentors at every step of the way, whether it's working in a sawmill when I was a kid and seeing people work for a living and really get out there and try to support their families. Watched my parents work incredibly hard. And then mentors, folks that I looked at in the Marine Corps as leaders, not supervisors, but leaders, and the way they handled themselves and the way they handled their teams. And I certainly have plenty of mentors and friends on the law enforcement side, whether it's on the Old Orchard side, where I got my first chance to be a reserve police officer, and the officers that got me in play there. And I had an awesome time with the Portland Police Department. What a great family that they are and that they continue to be. So I couldn't be prouder of that. You know, when I look at points, it's not big occasions in many cases. It's when you think you're making a difference, whether you really have a contact with a particular victim or a scenario, whether it's the opioid epidemic or some of the larger profile events that happened in Portland. And I wasn't proud of it because my involvement. I was proud because I got a chance to see those officers, that team, that entire team work. And mm-hmm. It just makes you proud to see the kind of people they are and how they handle themselves.
Are there points where you had sort of an aha moment where you said, boy, I always thought this, but then after seeing this now?
Yeah. You know, and I've had a lot of those because I think as a profession, we've come a long way. So I had an opportunity to start again where as a young, hungry police officer, you're running around, you're trying to make arrests, you're trying to be in the middle of everything. And when you work your way around in the chain and you find yourself at that 30,000 foot view, I have this conversation about opioids all the time. When I was, you know, if I'm just running, chasing calls, I'm arresting people thinking I'm doing the right thing. And that's always going to be a piece of the pie. It absolutely is. And there's great officers out there doing that today. But when I looked at it system wide, I said, well, geez, is this really the right way to do business? And long before that was our mental health crisis, a system that's not broken but shattered. And, you know, our work around that and our de-escalation skills and our communication skills and our willingness to get trained up in something that we didn't care about for a long, long time as a profession. There's pros that deal with that. We don't have to do that. Well, the reality is that this is part of our world. And at 2 a.m., police officers are the ones that are responding to these situations. So I think it's to a large extent, you change the definition of winning. What are we trying to do? Well, we're really trying to help people long term here. And along the way, you know, the short term fixes, the short term wins are necessary. But I think as I've gone up the chain, it's trying to look at that long term system wide change while continuing to support, you know, the folks that are out there on the tip of the spear, putting their lives on the line every day. You couldn't get any more important than that.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, your comments and questions. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Evergreen Home Performance, dedicated to helping homeowners qualify for Efficiency Maine energy audit and insulation rebates. More at evergreenyourhome.com. Seniors Plus, Western Maine's Agency on Aging. Critical services for older adults, disabled adults, and caregivers. SeniorsPlus.org. And Otelco Cloud and Managed Services, helping Maine businesses manage IT systems and business communication. Learn more at otelco.com.
Sandra Day O'Connor, the first woman on the Supreme Court, liked to say, "It's good to be first, but you don't want to be the last."
She knew that all eyes were on her, that everyone was watching her, and if she screwed up, she was going to screw up for women for all time.
The triumph and tragedy of the woman who has been called the unfeminist feminist, this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered from 4 to 6:30 each weekday evening here on Maine Public Radio. Mainers, how is childcare working for you? Maine Public News is working on a special series on childcare in Maine, and we want to know about the challenges your family has faced and how you coped with them. What has worked for you and your family? What hasn't? What wisdom have you picked up along the way? Send your stories to tips@mainepublic.org. Leave us a voicemail at 370-3487. Again, that's 370-3487. Comment on Facebook or tweet us at Maine Public, and you might be included in the upcoming series. Thanks.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, we're talking with Michael Soschuk. He is Maine's new commissioner for the Department of Public Safety. We invite you to join the conversation. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Joining us on the line now, Jenna Maynard, Executive Director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness in Maine. Hi, Jenna. Thanks for calling in. I guess we'll have to get back to Jenna. I don't know quite what happened there. Let's see if our other call-in is on the phone. Chief Richard LaHaye? Oh, nothing. I'm sorry, we're having an issue with our call-ins. We'll then go to Jean, who's calling from Yarmouth. Jean, are you there? No. Jean? Okay, well, we'll try to get our calls back in just a second. Obviously, something wrong with our system here.
Well, you have two great people in mind. Jenna Meinhardt is great. We've worked with Dombey for a long, long time. And Chief LaHaye is a true pro, so... I'm excited to have both of them on the line here shortly. So they're good people.
So Chief Soschuk, I mean, I almost called you Chief Soschuk because I did for so long.
That's not an insult at all.
let me bring it back some other kind of hot issues that are in the headlines right now and see what you're seeing here in Maine. We've already talked about sex trafficking, but what about hate groups? Have we seen an increased activity in hate groups in Maine?
I think that it may not be as much groups as it is activity. And you know, hate crimes are one of those things that I think happen all the time in throughout society, and I think they're incredibly underreported. And with that in mind, police departments in particular and communities need to continue to build their trust and relationships that are necessary so that people do come forward and make us aware, whether it's a crime or not, based on specific statutes. You know, we want to prosecute these whenever possible. But more importantly, we also want to be there as a support network for our communities and for our residents. That's been a great source for me of pride, working with various cultures and communities and leadership from a lot of the communities right here in the city of Portland as the years have gone by.
Another item in the news, some states have already allowed some sports gambling to be legalized in their states. The Supreme Court sort of opened the door for states to do that recently. And I know that this is an item that's before the legislature right now. Do you have an opinion about whether or not sports betting would be an okay thing to bring to Maine?
Yeah, sure. So from our perspective, we know that there is a concept bill, which means it really hasn't been fleshed out yet. In Augusta. So we're standing by. Milt Champion is the executive director of the gambling unit, has a lot of experience, has been in this in that particular profession for over 30 years. A lot of that in Florida, where they've done a lot of work with casinos and sports betting. So there's also fantasy sports, which is an aspect that is currently in rulemaking at the attorney general level. advanced deposit wagering. There's more activity in the gambling world than I was ever aware of before taking this position. But I'm glad we got Milt at the helm on there as an expert.
So are you not taking a position on whether or not that
would
be
okay? We haven't
seen
the language yet.
See.
I guess,
yeah.
You know, when it's a concept bill, we know it's regarding sports betting. But we don't know what that means yet for the state of Maine. So when we get that, then we sit down as a group and we take a look at exactly what that will mean for us. And then we take a stance.
All right. Well, I think we have now Chief Richard LaHaye, Chief of the Searsport Police and President of the Maine Chiefs of Police Association. Is that true? Are you here?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, thank you so much for calling back. I'm sorry about that. I know you're in touch with police chiefs across the state of Maine. What are the top issues that police departments are facing across the state?
First thing that I would say would be the hiring and retaining of qualified police officers, number one. The second thing, I think the mental health issues that are within society today that the police are dealing with. The third thing would be the continuation of domestic violence, which is not only within the state of Maine, but across the country.
What are you hoping Commissioner Soschuk can do to help move things in the right direction?
Well, from my perspective, ma'am, I believe the right person is at the helm. And I know Commissioner Soschuk not real well, but I have worked with him over the past few years since I've been involved with Maine Chiefs of Police. And his career is very unique. He comes from small town Maine and worked his way up through his profession. And I believe state of Maine has the right person for this particular task at hand.
I appreciate that, Dick. Thanks a lot, buddy. I owe you lunch for all those positive comments. and you know, Chief LaHaye has been in the game a long time, and he hit it right out of the park in the sense of the issues that I think we're facing as a profession internally and externally. And when you talk to police chiefs, that internal angle is that recruitment and retention. Let's look at the bottom line. How many full-time officers do we have? How many reserve officers do we have? How many dispatchers, telecommunicators do we have, which is another profession that is hurting for people. And then the external stuff, when you start talking about behavioral health issues and the crisis that is the opioid epidemic right now, substance use disorders in general, as well as the mental health crisis that Jenna can certainly speak to. Those are exactly the issues and the priorities that I think we have as a profession. And then I know those same conversations we're having as a Department of Public Safety.
Well, Chief, thanks so much for calling in. That's Chief Richard LaHaye, who is the Searsport Police Chief and President of the Maine Chiefs of Police Association. We're going to see if we've got Jenna now. Jenna, are you there? Jenna Maynard?
Yes, I am.
Oh, that's terrific. Thank you for calling back. You've heard us talk a little bit about police work and a change in the attitude toward mental health issues. Though we are undergoing an evolution, what do you hope to see in terms of changes of how police and others deal with those with mental health challenges in the future?
Well, first of all, and he knows I'm going to say this, absolutely, having Chief Soschuk become Commissioner Soschuk is a huge step forward for the state of Maine, from the people that I advocate on behalf of. So, you know, there's a few things, and really a lot of what Portland has done is what we'd like to see, you know, across the state in ways that work for smaller municipal departments as well as sheriff's offices. The issue of increased training for officers and, you know, specialization within law enforcement for mental health calls, the greater skills we can get for officers in responding to a person with a mental illness or who's in a suicidal crisis is absolutely critical. Portland's 100% CIT trained. It's not our goal that every department be 100% CIT trained, but that definitely we give officers additional skills to be able to respond to people in a mental health crisis or who have a mental illness. On top of that, though, we need to all collectively understand that it is not law enforcement who holds this challenge alone. They are the people who cannot say no when we call for help, but a big part of what is making their job much harder is the lack of a comprehensive community-based mental health system where officers can can help somebody get to, and then they get the help they need, rather than what is often the case of a revolving door for individuals not necessarily getting the right help, which means law enforcement is forced to interact with them over and over again when what they really need is a clinician. And so that's an unfair burden that we put on law enforcement because we don't have a comprehensive community-based mental health system. So, you know, obviously we'd like to see that addressed as we hope for officers to have more skills. And I also just want to touch for a moment, because I'm not sure that your listenership would have this awareness, that a police officer is more likely to die from suicide than a line-of-duty death. So the importance, and Commissioner Sawcheck obviously is a champion of this as well, the importance of recognizing the significant impact on the mental well-being of police officers for the role they do. Also the case for firefighters as well. You know, what we expect them to run to is what the rest of us run from. And, you know, back in the day, it was, you know, sort of, you know, brush it off and you'll be okay. We know that that's not the case. And, you know, in NAMI, in partnership with lots of other entities, really, not only do we want officers to respond better to a person with a mental illness, we want to make sure that officers are getting the care and support that they need.
Jenna, thank you so much. Before I ask you to respond to what she said, Commissioner Sawcheck, I just want to clarify. Jenna talked about CIT. What does that acronym talk about?
Crisis Intervention Teams, which started back in Memphis back in the day. I had an opportunity to be in the first CIT course that came to the state of Maine. And the reason that CIT is in the state of Maine right now is because of great folks like Jenna and NAMI. NAMI was the partner with the Portland Police Department to bring Crisis Intervention Team training to the state of Maine. And now there's great chiefs all over the state that would love to have their folks, you know, trained up. And NAMI, with Jenna's leadership, is really and what I hear here and what I love is that focus. Again, talk about internal, external. Jenna Close talking about peer support and talking about taking care of our people. And you talk about who's helping the helpers. And so what happens at the end of the day when those officers goes home, those firefighters, those paramedics, our social workers that are out there every day, you know, working incredibly hard on the behalf of other people, how are we taking care of them? And then we have that external aspect, which is the mental health training. And more importantly, and I couldn't agree more with the creation of a broader, more successful system, overall comprehensive system, where we have wraparound services and we get people the long-term help that they need.
Well, Jenna, thank you so much for calling in. That was Jenna Maynard, Executive Director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness in Maine. We're going to go now to Callie, who's calling from Biddeford. Hi, Callie. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm following right up with the last caller. And my hope would be that police officers and for all first responders could receive screening for post-traumatic stress disorder once a year, because I think they are exposed to situations like that. And that's the other side of the coin to what Jenna was talking about. I feel like a lot of the problems that we're having in larger cities where people are, you know, maybe making some mistakes and shooting people when the situation doesn't call for it, could possibly be avoided by police officers across the United States being trained for screened for post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, and I think it's a great point. I know that I was very pleasantly surprised, having not really no awareness of the state system at all, coming into place and talking to Colonel Cody on the Maine State Police side, talking to the Fire Marshal, Joe Thomas, and seeing that they already had a mechanism in place where their officers are required to see a professional once a year to make sure that whether I'd call that an assessment or not, Callie, I don't know, having not dug into it to that extent. But I'm right with you that we just got to be as proactive as humanly possible to make sure that the folks are being taken care of, just like we would in any other walk of life or any other profession.
Thank you, Callie, so much for your call. We have an email from Cassie. I'm wondering what Maine can do as a state and what citizens can do to reduce the risk of gun violence, particularly in schools.
So there's a lot of bills that go in every session. I know that we talk about universal background checks. You talk about extreme risk protection order style bills. I know there's we see a couple a week that are coming through. So I think from a citizen's perspective, to be involved in those, you know, keep your eyes open and be educated on the topic, whichever side you happen to be on. Be educated, have an opinion, and let your elected officials know where you stand on those particular issues. You know, you talk about school safety That's our youth. That's our future. The most vulnerable folks that we have. And we need to make sure that we're protecting them adequately.
There's some talk nationally of trying to have armed teachers. Is that something you would support?
No, it's not something I would support. They don't want me teaching a math class. I can tell you that right now. And then vice versa. I think that I want our teachers to be focused on their students and teaching their students. And there's other ways I think we can make our students safer. And I think that there were a lot of organizations out there on the teacher side, the principal side, school districts that spoke out against arming teachers in the last session.
Would you like to see schools in Maine, all schools in Maine, have school resource officers?
I would tell you, I would love that. And in truth be told, I would love it because I think the relationships that police officers have an opportunity to build with kids, the younger the better, to me is the key. Absolutely, having a professional law enforcement officer in a school makes it safer. But really, my focus would be on those relationships, the trust factor that you get to build. When school resource officer programs are run correctly, which they certainly are in the city of Portland, which has nothing to do with me, we have super, super folks in those high schools. It's an immediate impact. The kids love it. The teachers love it. And the officers absolutely love it. And we can't get any better than that.
All right. We are going to take another quick break. More questions for Commissioner Soscheck when we get back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do New England Cancer Specialists, proud to be a member of the Dana-Farber Cancer Care Collaborative and committed to helping patients achieve their best outcome.
Coming up on the next Commonwealth Club program, businessman Howard Schultz is flirting with the idea of seeking the presidency. But the former Starbucks CEO first has a lot he wants to say about the role of business in American society. Join us as Schultz discusses the people and the stories that have inspired him, the milestones of his own career, and that little question about whether or not he is serious about moving into the White House. On the next Commonwealth Club radio program.
And that's coming up in just a few minutes at 2 o'clock right here on Maine Public Radio. Starting at 4:30 each weekday evening, Maine Public Television brings you 3.5 hours of in-depth quality public affairs programming. First, at 4:30 each afternoon, it's Amanpour and Company, delving into the top issues of the day. Followed by The Journal from Deutsche Welle at 5:30, with an international and European focus on world events and issues. Next comes the BBC World News at 6, then the Nightly Business Report at 6:30, and finally, the PBS NewsHour at 7. 4:30 to 8 each weekday evening, news you can trust on Maine Public Television.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, Commissioner Michael Soscheck, Maine's new head of the Department of Public Safety. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Jean, who's calling from Yarmouth. Hi, Jean. Go ahead.
Hello. How are you today?
Great.
This is a follow-up, really, to the previous caller. Every morning when I open up the Press Herald and scan down the left-hand column of stories, more often than not, I'm seeing a domestic violence shooting, sometimes two or three a day. And so my plea really is to strengthen the efforts to have more control over these issues, specifically with the background checks. Right now, private sellers, Uncle Henry sellers, gun sales over on the internet are not followed up with background checks. And I'm glad to hear that there are a number of bills in the Senate right now addressing this issue. And I'd like to know what your guest has to say about that as well.
Yeah, sure. So I appreciate that, Jean. And, you know, the ongoing debate around the Second Amendment is certainly a healthy one. And everybody has an opinion on that. Background checks to me is an easy sell, and not to belittle the situation, but it's like going to a bar and you ask for an ID at the front door, and we say, boy, if you're not 21, but if you're not 21, just go to the back door and we'll just let you in. And that's the difference between buying a firearm through a federally licensed firearms dealer where you're required to have a background check versus a private sale where you're not required to do anything. So to me, that seems like that's common sense. And that should be something that we should consider. And I do think that that's something that is currently being considered and has been in every legislative session for a long number of years here. So, you know, we'll see what happens at the legislature. And again, it's a passionate topic, and everybody gets their opinions out there when it's brought up.
Gene, thank you for your call. We'll move up to Falmouth and Maura. Hi, Maura. Go ahead.
Hi. So I just wanted to follow up with the mental health issue. And I think part of the issue is that we don't have the inpatient beds for someone who have mental health issues that have been identified or, you know, that the police may be dealing with in crisis. And I know of one case where a young man was in jail for 6 months while he awaited a bed because all those beds were given to veterans who had a preference. And that the whole veteran issue is another issue. But I feel like we've underfunded DHHS, we've underfunded MaineCare, and the last administration obstructed access to MaineCare. I know I'm homesick with a sick child, and she has MaineCare as her secondary for Katie Beckett. And we needed 5 doses of an important medication. We were only allowed 3. And then I need to go back in and petition MaineCare for another 2 days of this medication. So I feel like it's not necessarily the police that have to deal with it, although they do deal with it, you know, repeated crises, but it's a citizen initiative. And we really only need to call on the general public to get over the stigma on mental health issues and really give people access to care. We wouldn't belittle people for being diabetic. And I'll take my, I guess I'm just.
Thank you, Maura.
You know, preaching. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, Maura, I can appreciate that. And I'll tell you that when law enforcement professionals or first responders are our first point of contact in the system, that's a symptom that the system is, in fact, broken on the mental health side, as an example. And I think there are incredibly valid reasons why the mental health system was deinstitutionalized because of atrocities that were happening behind closed doors. But the fact of the matter is that the promise was that there were going to be community-based services available for individuals, and that just simply never happened. And it still doesn't exist at a level that allows first responders and family members and those that suffer from mental health issues to actually receive the services that they need. And as a police chief, I was routinely asked on the substance use disorder side of the house, you know, what do I think is the number one thing to do? And what I've said for a number of years was MaineCare expansion and how that would allow those that we serve, constituents that we serve every day, the vast majority uninsured, to have access to treatment and opportunity and to hope. And that's certainly the case. You can drill right down and talk about inpatient beds, which I couldn't agree with more. But really, the answer is we need more across the entire system, not just inpatient beds. And we should never be in a situation where one group is competing against another, which, you know, I can't speak to. I certainly, as a former Marine, will want to support our veterans like everybody else. But there's a lot of folks out there across the board, to include our veterans, that still don't have enough care and enough love to make things happen.
We have an email from Duncan. Public safety is everyone's responsibility. Have you given any thought to developing more programming that would involve competent and trained civilians and volunteer activities like the Trauma Intervention Program, TIP, and Volunteers in Public Service, VIPS? Such efforts would contribute to keeping Maine safe and lessening the burdens on sworn officers.
Well, Duncan's pointed out a couple great programs. I can speak to TIP, the Trauma Intervention Program, personally and professionally. The Maine Behavioral Healthcare team, led by Leslie Skillings, is an incredible group of people. TIP is really providing emotional care for those that are just faced the worst day of their life. And they've been here in Maine for a number of years now. What an incredible group of volunteers. The leadership there is top notch. And I'm more than happy to have those conversations. Some things like TIP, the ongoing conversation around that would be more rural communities where their focus is really to be in the door in that first 30 minutes, which they do. It's hard to believe sometimes with the weather we have and the distances they travel. But these volunteers are signing up to deal with folks that are having incredibly difficult times. And they're just the best people. And I can't speak enough about the Trauma Intervention Program and the value that they have, like many other volunteer organizations. But TIP is at the top of the list in my world.
Well, we'll try to find a link and put that on our Facebook page after the show. Christy on Facebook says, needed training on de-escalation. Too many unnecessary deaths by police.
So de-escalation, I think, is certainly should be an ongoing focus for law enforcement. I won't second guess any of those situations without knowing exactly what they are. And hypotheticals are very questionable. Officers are put in harm's way every day in this country. But de-escalation is absolutely at the cornerstone of what we do. And I know that things like verbal judo, tactical communications was something that was mandated for every Portland police officer. I think crisis intervention team training really is a strong focus on de-escalation. I think information is power. The more information we give our folks, the more training, the more opportunities we give our law enforcement officers, the better off they're going to be. The safer they're going to be, the safer our constituents are going to be, the safer the world will be. So I do think that de-escalation is absolutely incredibly important for us.
We'll go to Margaret, who's calling from Orland. Hi, Margaret. Go ahead.
Hello. I have a question for the commissioner. Up here in Orland and actually around the state, from talk that we hear from people and their friends all over the state, safety on the road is really a big problem because there's so much speeding. The roads, especially in rural areas, have very little shoulder, and people can't walk anymore to visit their neighbors. They can hardly get out of their driveways. So we're wondering what the commissioner would support the use of unmanned speed control cameras to help help us get some control, because we can't even get any more patrolmen to be on the road because, as the commissioner has acknowledged, there's a difficulty in getting people to apply for these jobs.
Thank you, Margaret.
Yeah, Margaret, thank you very much for that. You know, we've touched on a lot of important topics today, but the number one issue that I've heard for years on the community side has been traffic safety and traffic enforcement and making sure that we can get from point A to point B safely. Specifically, the speed control cameras, I've been involved with various conversations on that. Over the years, the Big Brother component is something that turns that into a hotly contested topic. Doesn't mean that they're not right for the state of Maine in particular, but I do know that folks get pretty excited the more cameras you have out there, and we're already surrounded as it is. So there's certainly folks that that are on the other side of that particular debate, but I think about safety on the road, about traffic calming. Sure, we also in law enforcement act as a natural deterrent, and we want to be cognizant of that and make sure that we're really promoting voluntary compliance to traffic laws by being out there to enforce them and show some blue lights and make sure that people are aware that people are caring, and it is a big deal to us. But we also need to remember that we're the ones behind the wheel. And that means that we should all put our phones down. We should all focus on the road. We shouldn't eat breakfast while we're driving, or a thousand other things that are distracting to drivers every day. And that is a major, major focus for all of us. Because when I hear speed complaints, as an example in Portland, you know, we would go out and do details, and the vast majority of time we're stopping people from that neighborhood for speeding in their neighborhood. And they would say, well, we need more enforcement. But if you pull somebody over, the answer is, well, we need more enforcement for people that don't live here. You know, somebody else that's cutting through my neighborhood, not necessarily somebody that's living here. So we all control that, you know, the speeds that we drive by, the distracted version. But on the public safety side, the traffic safety unit with the Maine State Police and others, Capitol Police, are out there trying to make the roads as safe as humanly possible. So I appreciate your comments, Margaret, and it always reinforces that we can't forget about that, even though we are focused on opioids and mental health. But day-to-day, traffic is incredibly important to our communities.
Margaret, thanks for your call. We have an email from Lynn. I'm thrilled to hear you speak about best practices. I recently worked with the Suburban Police Department in a large East Coast city regarding community policing practices. What are your thoughts on community policing practices, and do you think police in Maine towns would be open to this training? Lots of research on its effectiveness.
Yeah, sure, Lynn. So that's an excellent point as well. And, you know, Portland brought community policing to the state of Maine when they opened up the first community policing center in the Parkside neighborhood. Again, kind of back in the day, I was living in an apartment a few doors down, actually on Sherman Street when that opened. That's been great. I can tell you that if I am to say that trust and relationships is the cornerstone of what we do in law enforcement, that we need to work with our neighborhoods, we don't just come in and mandate this is what we're going to do. We're trying to solve long-term problems with our neighbors. That is always important. I would argue that you know, a lot of departments are doing that now, and certainly the smaller your departments are, the smaller your communities are, where everybody knows everybody, that is community policing 101, that we're trying to get ahead of things, we're trying to work with each other, community policing is a major focus. You know, I can think about Lewiston has got a great community policing program, and whether a department labels what they're doing as community policing, they may in fact be doing many, many of the basic tenets of that particular style without having dedicated officers or specific programming.
All right. Well, one last question before we let you go, Commissioner, and that is, what do you see as the future? What is, whether it's criminal analysis or big data, what are we going to be talking about in 5 or 10 years? What are you going to be able to do in your position that you can't now?
So I think, you know, the wave of that future is technology, and it's technology on the positive side and the negative side. Internet crimes, crimes that are computer-based are ever-growing, and we need to always be focused on that next level, training and equipment for officers. And who's going to have the time and the skill set to investigate a lot of crimes that may be happening overseas, that they're targeting our folks here, whether it's through scams or frauds or a long list of offenses that are impacting the state of Maine. So I think data collection and all those things are incredibly important. But I look at, in the state of Maine, I look at the warrior versus guardian debate, and I look at us continuing to allow our officers and give our officers the skill set they need in order to address emergencies like active shooters that are happening more and more around the country, all the way straight through to de-escalation and being the great people that they are and out there in order to help people and get people plugged in to some of these social service networks at an even higher level. And I think we have the opportunity to do that. I think the governor's got a great team up there that is really focused on helping the citizens of Maine. And I know our police officers are going to be right there every step of the way. Couldn't be any prouder of all of them.
Well, Commissioner Michael Soschuk, thank you so much for being here, the Commissioner of Maine's Department of Public Safety, former Chief of Portland Police. Nikki Shields ran the board today. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, we're talking about college readiness. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.